super excited, ladies and gents.
Eric's very excited,
I can
people.
Tell.
Yes.
It's the Catlin chapter. Yes.
Is that why he's excited?
The week is
I
now
think
beginning.
So. That's why I'm excited.
Right before we just recorded, Eric was like, I feel good about this today. That's a good attitude to have. I like that.
But Eric, I want to take a minute to congratulate you on your Halloween costume, because I was not on Friday's episode, and you really went all out. I have to give you a lot of credit for this, because not only did you create a costume, but you created this whole music video, a history of, that was quite impressive.
It was like VH1 inside the music or something.
I really tried to string a narrative together from the various tidbits we were able to get over 2 days of filming. I appreciate that. And I thank you, Micah, for saying something, because I'm just so pleased to have had a great experience.
You know what? You know what? Thank you, Micah, as well. I thank you as well.
Who were the people that you actually were able to get to be a part of this video? Because one of them actually seemed like they could have been an old style jazz musician.
Yes. And he, as recently is trying to break into the scene. I assume you mean the man who was the producer in the video.
Yes. But then also the other individual who you performed with.
Yes. Well, that was the producer, but yeah, in general, they're just guys, man, in Bristol and, Bristol, Virginia / Tennessee. And the guy who played the manager is a graphic artist, so not a band manager. But even Zach said to me, he said, yeah, you know, that guy seemed like he knew what he was doing, seemed like he was a real manager. And I was like, yeah, they did this, man. They just,
no, I remember watching it. I was texting Eric and I was like, dude.
And none of them are, Harry Potter fans at all. They didn't know anything about it, but they know Elvis. Obviously they know of the legend of rock. So it really just worked. I was really happy with everything we were able to do. But the man, who sang with me, his name is, Lukeman Barnes, George Lukeman Barnes. And, he's just got this low voice, and it's shocking. Actually, there's more to it than that. You'll find in a follow-up video, there's a moment where he sings, and I'm going to be releasing a follow-up video, including that, just because he's amazing. But it was a great time, and it was great to do something like that for Halloween. Now, consequently, we did say on Friday's episode I was going out to find some Game of Thronesers who may still have been in the city and that sort of thing. I ended up going to bed early and not going out. So,
yep.
Not to
disappoint anybody, but they didn't. I knew the clocks were changing, were coming up, and I knew the clock change was coming up, and I thought I'd get a head start on it. So I ended up not doing that, but the Game of Thrones costumes we reviewed on Friday's episode, if you haven't listened yet, or seen the post on Winter is Coming.
Review, use that word loosely.
yes, commented them, on. You know, oh, hey, Danny, she's got an egg. It could be an avocado. We don't know. And now that Halloween is over, we're just in November, and Christmas music plays when we walk into stores here. Selena, are they as gung-ho about Christmas over there?
Christmas?
Yeah, already. Christmas. They skipped Thanksgiving, although I know that's not a thing.
You know what, Eric? You know what? The Christmas in Scandinavia, you cannot imagine. Because you guys, it's like, oh, you know, there's marketing. Oh, you know, there's whatever Christmas. Entire December month, we have stuff happening that's like community and it's nice. We have like a Lucia parade of girls dressed in white, and we have like advent calendar. We have
girls.
And we have like a Christmas calendar, like one, like all the different TV channels do like an episode a day, like something about Christmas leading up to Christmas. Usually they have to save Christmas and Santa Claus is in it, and it's like for children but also for adults. And we like on Christmas Eve, we dance around the Christmas tree, and we have like rice pudding, and we have like it's just so much more than just food and presents. I know.
Fuck, yeah, I'm going to Denmark, guys.
Like, and it's just the atmosphere is fantastic, and it's not about the like just Christmas. It's about the whole month, and it's the best. It's the most wonderful time of the year. So I'm very excited, and I dance around the Christmas tree, and I enjoy it. So
I do wish we could have a Game of Thrones Christmas special like Doctor Who does. That would be awesome.
Yes.
Could you imagine Game of Thrones Christmas special with like Tyrion's walking around King's Landing with a little sack of treats?
Here's some bread. How would that even work?
Yeah, small people.
Well, you know, there is a Game of Thrones cookbook. If you guys all consent to meeting in one place, I think I could probably whip something up.
Do you just know that King Robert, when he was alive, used to dress up like Santa? Like every Christmas, give presents to his little bastard children.
Yeah, we get all excited to come together to record these. because obviously we don't get to do it as often as we'd like, because there's just so much work that goes into putting these little things together. But I think the Christmas season is going to do nothing but bring everyone closer.
Oh,
even the listeners. Yes. A nice little fire. You get plus five spirit for sitting by it.
It can it can only mean good things. It's comforting. It's friendship. It's love. Yes. It's joy. No reason to be afraid. Unlike what we can say for Catelyn.
Ooh.
Right?
In this chapter. Is very afraid.
Yes, even though they're winning, she's very afraid.
Yes, and you know, that little bit of illogical behavior there, that fear, that gripping fear that she's feeling, really just sets a tone. Obviously, it's meant to set a tone, but it's really interesting because her brother is kicking ass. Lannister ass.
And that's a very different brother than the TV show version.
Well, her previous chapter kind of set him up to be, you know, not really a half-wit, but kind of a three-quarters wit, if you could say. You know, she was kind of not really feeling his plans, but what we see in this chapter is they're holding the Red Fork and they're not allowing any Lannisters to cross, whatever the cost. That's a rap song.
Which part is a rap song?
Whatever the cost. Never the little cross. I already forgot it.
Oh, okay. But yes, I mean, she has to basically say to herself, I should have been more supportive because all of his men were supportive of it and I was not. And I still see, I think, was it the last chapter? She had to stop seeing the little boy because he's her little brother. And that's kind of the thing is like the big sister and, you know, little brother, she is above him in kind of the lineage, but you know what I'm saying. She just feels like he's a little kid, and clearly he's not. But you know, Catelyn has done her fair share of you know, duties throughout her life, and as we open the chapter, she does reflect.
As we all have, yes.
Yes, she does reflect on some of the things that she has done for Lord Hoster Tully as well as her family, while Edmure is out there doing things for his family. Currently.
Yeah, this chapter, I guess, is a lot about the underlying tone of the role of women versus the role of men. Because, you know, while she is so preoccupied in her mind with what's happening with the men outside, you know, she has all of the problems that she's facing interior-wise, you know, dealing with her daughters being gone.
Well, her daughters are gone, and ultimately, like, she has Brienne for comfort, which is good. But she really just doesn't know how it's all going to end up. I mean, Lannister is a very frightening man.
Yeah.
Tywin. Or Tyrion or...
No, Tywin. Jamie. Tywin being the operative. Tommen is a frightening man. But
20 years later,
how...
you're Tommen and what's his face? Bran's... What's her name? Bran's little brother.
Rickon.
Rickon, sorry. It's late. Tommen and Rickon are just going to like terrorize the kingdom.
Oh, just God. Seeing how Tywin operates here... you know, where he and Brienne kind of calls him on it, which is kind of cool when they see those men approaching Riverrun. And Riverrun, it was kind of funny because Riverrun is scarcely defended right now. Edmure kind of took all his men into battle, leaving actual cripples, like actual. There's a quote that says, you know, all the able-bodied men are gone. So the not able-bodied men are the ones who are running, you know, kind of protecting the walls of the castle. And, you know, all the women and children are behind, like you just mentioned. I mean, Catelyn is there, Brienne is there, but also the whole of Riverrun's women and children. I forget if Catelyn at one point just reflects on how much breeding has been being done, because there are just so many women and children, and it's like, well, they feel defenseless. And that leads to Catelyn's kind of reflection and kind of fear, I think. It feeds into it, the fact that they are kind of at the mercy of Edmure's troops about how well he performs his duty.
I think a lot of this chapter, as much as it is about the role of man versus the role of women, I think it's really about Catelyn as a mother and as a sister and as a daughter. And I think you see that reflected throughout, and you see a change in her a little bit. She's moving more towards doing what we know she's going to do later on in this book. And that obviously causes a lot of problems, but I think her feelings as a mother are starting to really show through. And, you know, it's mentioned multiple times in this chapter about Sansa, about Arya. You know, we know Bran and Rickon are back at Winterfell, and coming up in the next chapter, they're going to be in trouble. Robb's out to war. Edmure's out to war. Her father is dying. It's a lot of stuff for her to deal with, on top of the fact that her husband was killed you know, in the last book.
Yeah,
you're right. I mean, we just got another Catelyn chapter recently, so it's kind of, I don't know, it's fun because this is the part of the story where things are flowing a little bit better. You know, we just heard from her and now we're hearing from her again, but something slightly different is happening. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of setting the stage for the events that are directly about to come. It's kind of like, you know, just keeping us abreast of what the characters are feeling.
You didn't want to say abreast, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that was it.
The characters who are about to have things happen to them, or by extension, things happen to their families. Like, for instance, Winterfell's about to be sacked. Spoiler alert. We hear from Catelyn, you know, the chapter right before, to see kind of where she's at on the whole my kids are all over the place kind of conundrum. It's about to get worse, but, you know, she doesn't know that. But still, it's like keeping in touch with the characters who matter the most.
Yeah, and it's mentioned in this chapter that she's a lost woman. You know, she's always felt that sense of purpose. She always has done her duty, and she, as you mentioned earlier, Eric, but she feels now as if she needs counsel. She needs somebody to direct her and to provide her with a little bit of insight as how to proceed.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a nice, like, structure-wise, a calm before the storm chapter-wise, because we all know that the next chapter is a really big one. And the one after that is a really big chapter too. So this is just kind of, yeah, taking stock of where Catelyn is and what's happening in her part of the world.
There's a bit of mystery element still to this chapter, which is why I liked it. She has to suss out from Cleos Frey, whether or not he saw both her daughters. And of course she gets him drunk and, you know, he slips up and says, well, no, actually, she catches him in the lie and he finds out essentially that he did not see Arya, that it was just Sansa. And then the other bit of mystery is what Stannis really wants with Edric Storm. And there's just kind of, she's working those two angles of it, trying to figure out maybe Cersei is super hiding Arya. You know, maybe that's why that, or maybe she's dead. And Catelyn is really beginning to resign herself to the idea that some of her children are lost.
And it's so sad to hear, especially with Arya, because I always got the feeling that Catelyn saw more of herself in Sansa than Arya. She never really knew what to do with Arya. But so it does make sense that she would resign herself to her death a little bit easier than Sansa. You know, she's kind of putting all her eggs in Sansa. Basket for
yeah well, she says Sansa was easier to tame,
yeah,
and that if the queen isn't showing Arya around or having her in public, it's because Arya very likely won't shut up, you know, about saying ill things that would embarrass the country.
Selena, to your point, she literally sees more of herself than Sansa, because it's brought up again how Arya looks like Ned, as does Jon, and then she has that whole moment where she reflects back and she throws out another name, and again, I don't remember how many times Ashara Dane is mentioned as possibly being Jon Snow's mother prior to this point, but that's just a moment where we are led to believe that perhaps she is in fact the mother of Jon Snow. And I know in previous episodes, not too long ago, we've talked about his parentage a little bit, not too much, but it really eats at her, though, the fact that Ned was unfaithful. And that all really ties into the end of the chapter too, where, you know, Tywin tries to march against Edmure and really he's held at bay. You know, the mountain gets injured and 12 attempts are made to cross. None are successful. And, you know, there's that line, they shall not cross, that Edmure sends back to Catelyn. Despite the victory, she's still afraid. She still thinks that something is not right. Despite all the successes that Rob is having, despite the success that Edmure just had, something doesn't sit well with her.
You know, if it weren't strictly the Stark lineage that has like the direwolf thing and the warging thing, I would start to say that Catelyn has a little bit of a sixth sense, but, you know, you could call it women's intuition, mm-hmm, or motherly intuition. You know, the ability to sense when your kids are in danger. Although, I would argue anywhere in this world at any time, anybody's kids are probably in danger, because so much shit can go wrong. Cities can just be sacked by Theon Greyjoy and his raiders. You know, just one day, everything's fine. Next day, nope, you're all iron and salt.
Getting ahead of yourself there, Eric.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't meant to get ahead. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, cities just get sacked. It happens. All of a sudden, you're, you know, in chains one day. So that said, she does have this great sense of foreboding.
Well, I think that Brienne offered her a large amount of guidance. Maybe not in a traditional sense, as she didn't, you know, properly go to her as you probably would a priest or something in this kind of world, you know, with real troubles and real problems. And it's not like she was even praying, but I feel like they had a nice session of some girl talk and they figured some stuff out. When Brienne was saying fighting is better than waiting, it just gives you so much perspective on the entire mm-hmm. story of the kinds of people that are inside and the kinds of people that are outside on all these problems. And you think about the small people that they refer to and how these men are out giving their lives, fighting at the Stone Mill, they're fighting at the Red Fork, and they're trying to hold this place so all of these people can live within this castle. And you know, at the very end of the chapter, when they eventually drive all of the men back, including the Mountain and his men, they're celebrating, they're chanting things like Tully, they're chanting things like River Run. And it makes me think the strange concept of chanting another family's name, but when you really think about what these families do for these small people in their governing regions, is they, you know, they give them safety, they give them a way to survive. And this is one of those situations where we get to see people being thankful for this kind of thing rather than just being led to war like even Rob is doing or even what Tywin's doing. It's interesting to see.
Now I wonder how similar the chapter will be from this chapter later on in the Red Keep, you know, when the city is being sieged. I wonder if the,
exactly.
I wonder how different or how similar those chapters are. I'm looking forward to reading that. Because I know it's coming, but also just because we've had this chapter now.
Well, I think one of the things that's great about this chapter is that you really get to see what's happening out on the field. You know, yeah, you're at River Run, but even you get those moments where Catelyn goes out and she watches what's happening, and you don't get that in the TV show. It's just impossible to get that in the TV show because there are so many battles going on, but here you actually get the real crux of what's happening in this book. You know, really in the TV show, all you got was Blackwater.
Yeah, and then some random scattered fighting scenes. But even in the book, we haven't got as much as, you know, you would imagine and what you would expect. But here we do get to see it. Yeah, they're out fighting.
Yeah, it's right in front of you. You know, Tywin in previous chapters has left Harrenhal. He's marching out, trying to lay siege to River Run. It doesn't work. You know, Rob's off fighting. And he's headed to toward the crag, it says, which is the seat of House Westerling, which is important.
Is he going to be on Guts?
Michael Mellon Guts.
That's the aggro crag.
He's heading to the crag.
House Westerling is very important. That is all I will say.
Westerling?
You know, I was reading that and I was like, And then this chapter was saying duty so much and about how that we must fulfill our promises. And I was just thinking, oh, this is so much irony. You're tying so much irony into this.
It's insane.
I see it. Oh, it's just crippling irony.
Is Westerling? I've never heard of him before. Are they more important than the Freys, Micah?
You'll figure it out. No, they're not, but they are kind of important.
Oh, okay.
We'll save it.
Well, speaking of them.
Speaking of Freys?
Yes. Doesn't Catelyn makes reference that no grandson of Walder Frey would ever be an Oathbreaker.
Right. No! That was so funny.
Unless it suited his purpose.
Oathbreakers, they should be spat on, don't you guys think?
Mm-hmm. Bruce Bolton apparently washes his hands of his bastard. He's just like, yeah, that guy, seriously.
What kind of soap did he use?
Lava.
To wash his hands of his bastard.
I think it was Irish Spring, actually.
No, you're right, though, Eric. This was kind of a very, I don't want to say integral or important part of this chapter, but George leaves these nuggets in so many different places and with new characters that are upcoming. And for some reason, this mention of this man's bastard so much in the book so far, I mean, we understand his importance later, but up to this point, he gets to have a section as brightly shining as this. It says, a strong castle and well garrisoned, but his grace shall have it if I must go kill every living soul within it to make so. So that is something that the bastard Ramsay was quoted saying. Anyway, so Bruce Bolton was overheard saying this about his kid. He says, a fate he no doubt earned because everyone thinks that he's dead. Tainted blood is ever treacherous, and Ramsay's nature was sly, greedy, and cruel. I count myself well rid of him. The trueborn sons my young wife has promised me would never have been safe while he lived.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad for Bruce Bolton. Like, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, he, as we know, he's not a great character by any means, but compared to his son, it's just...
He actually suggested that his bastard would kill his trueborn sons in some sort of weird hope to gain.
Probably very true.
Essentially. Well, yeah. I mean, he wouldn't just kill him, though. We know that he'd
flay them.
Much worse.
Yeah, like, we're learning so much about this guy.
I wonder where else he'll turn up.
Anyway, we've reached the section of the show that we like to call... Well, we don't really have a name for it. We just tell each other what we thought was cool from the chapter. And we, we call them owns. They're owns. Yeah, sorry. That came out.
Like,
it's funny how that works
I have an own.
Okay, tell us your own.
My own for this chapter goes to Rhymond the Rhymer. And
fancy.
The other various songsters. Songstresses? No, they're all men. Song steamers. Song.
Bards.
Bards who are.
Well, not according to Brienne, if you remember that. Earlier in this chapter, she speaks of a woman who came from across the sea to sing.
Yeah, yes, don't know what she was singing, but her father could put his hands around her waist.
Yeah, I remember that part.
Good point.
Yeah, he's a dirty man, by the way. And it was important to learn, actually, Brienne never met her mother.
Oh.
True.
Interesting.
Or maybe never knew her mother.
Her father appeared to always have women at court or with him in bed at all times.
He's like a King Robert.
Yeah. I don't know, I saw the comparison.
So is that your own, or is it still on Rhymin' the Rhymer?
My own is to Rhymin' the Rhymer, because after the Battle of the Mill, maybe we're seeing an advanced time right here, but there appear to be songs being written at a breakneck pace, light speed, so as to be sung the dinner on the eve after a victorious battle. So these guys are essentially turning out these classic hits. In almost no time, and I just have to hand it to them for that. And, you know, Catelyn even agrees that it's important to have song and celebration in such a time as this, to celebrate their successes.
Yeah.
So, Rhymin' the Rhymer, this one's for you.
Let's take play a little tune.
This one goes out to Rhymin' the Rhymer, wherever you are, buddy.
Hope you're still
take
rhyming.
Take us away, flying wolf. Well, in the spirit of exactly what you just said, I'm going to have to give my own to, drumroll, ready to piss Eric off, Catelyn Stark. Ah. You know why?
Oh, come on.
Catelyn gets my own this chapter because she herself songstressed, a verb. She songstressed and wrote lyrics off the top of her head. Which I thought was great. And what you were saying is true, Eric. History is being written as we read, if that makes any sense. Right now, these battles are happening, and these battles will be spoken about in a future time with these people, a lot like the wars with Ned and Robert have been spoken about. And so my own goes to Catelyn because she says this in the book. She says, "The mill that ground the mountain down. I could almost make the words myself, had I the singer's gift." I love that because, they drove them off of the stone mill. That's good. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
The songs will be sang for the stone mill.
Can you guys guess who gets my own?
Ooh, is it Brienne?
Is it Brienne of Tarth?
Yeah, it is. When she says what we already quoted earlier, "Fighting is better than waiting. You don't feel so helpless when you fight. You have a sword and a horse, sometimes an axe. When you're armored, it's hard for anyone to hurt you." It's so true, Brienne. I actually have my own axe, so I know the feeling. I don't have a horse anymore, that. Though. So I'm almost there. So
that's
yeah.
That's good. No,
yeah,
I like
right?
that. That's
right.
a good own. No,
it
she's
a good own. It's a great own.
She's
so
right. And it's existential.
Right.
You could derive lots from it. It could be armor or it could be just guarding yourself.
Exactly.
I liked Brienne's humility as well.
Yeah, I like Brienne. That's what they say in the book. Eric likes it.
I like Brienne's humility in this chapter when Catelyn asked her to sing. And she was like, "Please, my lady, no."
I bet she's a real good singer.
I bet she
is. If they put her on The Voice.
Oh, no. You're going
to
have all four chairs.
The judge on The Voice.
What's his face? No. We'd be pushing the button so quick, it wouldn't even be a question.
CeeLo Green?
Yeah. No, I was thinking CeeLo. I wanted to say Ruben, but that wasn't
you
it.
You just did I Dream to Dream because that lady that did it that once.
Yep.
I think that's the wrong show, but... It's
I
all
don't
reality
know anything
TV.
About this anyway.
So different from this hell I'm living.
So
what about you, Micah?
I think I just have to. I have to give my own to Catelyn's conscience.
That still counts as Catelyn. Score two for the home team.
Yeah.
Nice try.
Oh, God.
More importantly, when she says the Lannisters are liars, everyone. And the dwarf is the worst of them.
Man, I hated that whole sequence. That sucks for Tyrion.
I know.
She likes Tyrion.
It does.
I don't like that Catelyn doesn't like Tyrion. It makes it hard to like Catelyn. Kind of like with Jon.
She has that moment right before where she thinks, hey, you know what? He didn't have any role in Ned's murder. And he did come to my defense when we got attacked. Mm-hmm. If I could find a way to trust him about Sansa and Arya for Jaime... maybe I could work this out, but Then she reflects back to what happened to Bran and looked at her hands where she was cut by that knife. And she still thinks at the end of the day that it was Tyrion who sent that sellsword, I guess, or just hired assassin after Bran.
Some lies you just can't crush. You just can't get away from. They still haunt you.
So true.
It's so ironic, too, because at the very end of the chapter previous, Tyrion is just kind of having his own problem. I think, Micah, I think it was your own, but basically he's like, I'm the imp everyone hates, yet I'm trying so hard. And then here in the next chapter, she's like, is he good? Wait, no. No. He's not. He's a Lannister. And he's little, so, you know, he was...
Hate him more.
Yeah.
But see, the thing about Tyrion being a good liar, and I don't disagree with that statement, but he very rarely lies to hurt people that are good.
Right, he hurts a lot of the bad people, actually, with his lies and deceit.
Catelyn has no idea, and that's a mechanic in so many stories, where the reader or the viewer is just shouting at the TV saying, this is what's happening, look at this! And she doesn't know. She doesn't have an idea. It's like, this could help you. You could be like Tyrion's friend and you guys could infiltrate and take things over or whatever. But that's not going to happen because you hate each other.
She has no idea that it was really who sent the assassin after Bran.
Did you just...
I cut out there?
Oh, yeah. That's what it was.
It's such a shame. I heard you.
In absence of Micah's information that only went through to Selena's ears, ironically, we shall read a few emails that you people have sent us on email.
That's such a surprise.
All right. We got an email here from Beth from Colorado. Beth writes in quite frequently, so we thank her for her own. She says, my own for this Catelyn chapter goes to Ryman the Rhymer.
What?
Yep.
Twinsies, two for the rhyme team.
Beth, you have to stop being in sync with Eric because this is becoming quite scary. So yes, goes to Ryman the Rhymer, who maybe should start calling himself Howlin' Wolf for doing such a great job of keeping the morale up at River Run. Between writing a catchy song about Rob that incorporated wolf howls, I'm hearing something like Werewolves of London, and forming a band with some of the common folks staying there, he sounds like all the entertainment a castle needs.
Wow. And I promise that I did not read Beth's email prior to when it was just announced by Micah. But that's cool. We got two for Cat. Well, one for Cat and one for Cat's conscience. And two for Ryman.
All right. Well, the tally is now 2-2. Let's see what this next email brings us.
Well, and one for Brienne. Don't forget about Selena.
Tough own for this chapter, but should go to Brienne for the complexity of this character. Able to read the mind of Tywin, yet blushes at the thought of singing for Renly. That was from a Mr. Andrew Andy Robillard. Thank you.
So we've got, guys, a three-way tie on owns here for this chapter.
We do.
What do we do now? Do they fight? Do they sing?
Yes, I think it should be a battle to the death at Leaky Con. Everyone has to come and fight, and, you know, to the victor go the spoils.
How about an epic rap battle?
Okay, we'll
think of something.
Yeah, something else will come out. It'll come out in the wash.
Well, don't forget about this, ladies and gents, listeners out there, because these three characters will have to face off in some way at Leaky Con when we next meet.
We'll forget by Friday, I promise you.
Well, speaking of Friday, there is still time to get in your owns to us, just like both Sir Andrew, was it?
Lord.
Lord Andrew and Miss Beth were able to
Lady.
Send us via email. And
Lady Beth.
This is not, Lady Beth, Go this on. Is not something new. You can send them to us via email at contact@gameofowns.com or on Twitter at twitter.com/gameofowns, @gameofowns us your owns.
Ooh.
Nice. I was really impressed. Yeah.
I think that's
Darwolf
cool. I think that's
body.
An awesome costume. I mean, this is Game of Thrones. Let's just embrace the gore. It's awesome.
Embrace the gore. 2014.
Yes. And another way that you can give us feedback on the show is by heading on over to iTunes. It is now the month of November.
Oh, my God.
And you know what that means?
We're getting older. All of us are dying slowly.
Yes. What does it mean, Eric? Go ahead.
No, we're not dying, Zach, because the clocks went back an hour. We have an extra hour to live.
Yes.
Selena got hers last week. Now we finally got ours. It means, Micah, that nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable.
That's what it means.
That is correct.
As far as rate and reviews.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Eric, but I was actually referring to the fact that it is the month of November. Brittany Black was so nice to point out that her friend is in the Radio City Christmas Spectacular and she just Instagrammed the fact that the camels have arrived.
Oh, no.
So now that we're in the month of November, Winter Koo will be making his way to New York City, which apparently he already has, and we look forward to having him on the podcast sometime in the near future.
What noises do camels make? Like moo? Kind of like... Yeah. Cows? like what's that, a spaceship noise?
He talks.
That was a recording of a camel I just made.
Okay. He speaks English. He does. I'm very
he speaks
sorry.
English and French.
Don't you worry.
English and French.
Yeah.
But yes, as Eric pointed out, in the month of November, nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable on iTunes. And actually, another one of our listeners said they tried to post a review to iTunes, but were unable to, and they thought perhaps there were just too many 5-star reviews. We do encourage Kendra to try again, send in your review. Maybe it was just some sort of technical issue on iTunes. But there are no November reviews yet, so we have to get going. It's already a couple of days into the month. We need consistency here. So I don't want to see any slacking going on. I've been pretty lenient, I feel like, over the last couple of months. Not too many threats, but perhaps we need to escalate that very rapidly. Is there a motorcycle?
As somebody opens a vault to a bank.
Here are your owns. I've been keeping them here.
One other place you can find out about all things Game of Thrones, as well as many, many, many other fandoms, is Hypeable.com. Isn't that right, Selena?
That is absolutely
right. Oh, she can
right,
hear us.
Micah.
She's
yes,
here.
I can hear you now. Wait, you're talking about Hypeable, so I can hear you. You know, before
she's
I was
like, my internet works.
Conveniently. Yeah, Hypeable.com. It's Hypeable.com, and you should definitely check it out because Game of Thrones is on hiatus and we need other TVs to fill our brains.
You know, I was just thinking of a plug that we've never ever done, and because I've tweeted recently on like never ever do, and it was really asinine and had nothing to do with anything. I like to remind people that the four of us are on Twitter.
Ooh.
Under our names.
Yes.
Except Eric.
Except Eric.
Oh, yes, which is Spielerman, S-P-I-E-L-E-R-M-A-N.
That's actually not right. S-P-I-E, right?
Yes.
Okay. You said S-P-I-L. So there you go. I'm helping you out. Teaching out as well.
S-P-I-E-I,
right?
S-P-I-E. Hip-hop anonymous.
Damn you, you give him all the easy ones.
S-P-I-E-L-E-R.
We're Game of Thrones, ladies and gentlemen. We go together like lamb and tuna fish. I'm Zach Louie. Learn how to spell that.
I'm Selena Wilkin and my ex.
I'm Micah Tannenbaum.
Buckbeak.
And I am Elvis Dumbledore.
There's a storm coming, Harry.
I can't wait for Christmas.
Goodbye, everybody.
Nor can I.
Hello. Hello.
And another place you can check out. Oh, there she is.
What?
Hello.
Hello.
I can't hear you.
Hello.
No. I can't hear you.
This is amazing, by the way. Definitely bloopers to be used at the end following the melodious strings that play.
The melodious harmonical strings.